Hey Riley, how's everything going?
Hey, not bad, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm not doing too bad. I mean, you're doing really well, I'm sure, as you have better days out and about. Also getting closer and closer to Hamilton, which will be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Oh, I'm pumped.
So, I mean, how exactly is the country music scene in New Brunswick? Because it took me forever to even realize there is country music, like, east of Ontario. Like, I didn't even realize there was any in Quebec. How I didn't know Jason Benoit was from Newfoundland. I never knew. I don't know. There seems to be more and more, but I've never heard of anybody from New Brunswick like you are till now.
Yeah, man. I think we kind of all get balled into that same like maritime East Coast, group. So I always try to think of it that way. And like, there's a lot of guys that like kind of fly under the radar from here. And it's like, you'd never know, but like you got like Jason Berry, he's Dean Brody's guitar player. And like, he's from just down the road. And then there's a lot of guys too, that kind of had a bit of, spurts through the 90s and like the 2000s and stuff. And then like, they all just kind of like, they want to stay local and do that thing. So they kind of end up flying under the radar, but there's a big scene for like local stuff and like, especially country, like out here, like we're pretty much all rednecks. Like it's pretty, they say we're like 10 to 20 years behind the rest of the country. It's pretty evident every time I get traveling. It's like, oh, okay. Like, this stuff is a lot different home. So no, there's a lot of country music around, and especially in the East Coast, you can go flip over rock and there'd be somebody that can play guitar and writes music. But a lot of them stick into their sheds and hang out and do it at the bonfire, and kind of there's a lot of people that don't pursue it that should. Like it's wild, really.
Wow, yeah, because my knowledge of New Brunswick only kind of came from a friend in university, which is how I came to love or came to know of the Donair, which is I spend a little too much money on eating Donair.
No, I think a lot of us do too, and it definitely shows.
Oh yeah,
but it's hard to deny. Definitely, you can see it here for sure. But it's good.
Now, I mean, a couple of years ago, you won the Boots and Hearts Emerging Artist Showcase. What was that experience like for you?
That was wild, man. That was my first time doing any kind of gig or anything outside of the province. So I didn't know what I was getting into. Like, I'd never been to Boots and Hearts. Like, the only festival that I'd ever been to was the Cavendish Beach in PEI.
Oh, yeah.
And, it was a matter of kind of like mistaken ignorance. Like, I didn't know about it, but it wasn't because I was like, stuck up or anything like that. Like, I just didn't know. So then we get there and it was just like insane, right?
Yeah,
especially for me. Like, I the weekend before, like, I was playing in a bar to like 20 people, right? So it was a big change of pace, right? And everybody's there with their managers and their bands and all that stuff. I didn't even have a band, so like it was really a bit of an underdog theme for sure.
So I mean, what has that been like since you've won that competition?
Yeah, man, I think that was kind of the spark that lit the fire for me. Like, I always liked it, and I was doing my gigs and all this stuff. I never really took it too seriously. It was just kind of a casual thing, whatever. Like, I might get some songs recorded someday and do that. And never really thought about it, right? And then that was kind of an eye-opener. It was like, well, and I got looking at, previous winners and previous participants in that contest and, like, careers that have come from that. I'm like, well, I might have half a shot here. If this is the case, this is what they're telling me, right? So that's kind of when I started to want to take it more seriously and get some stuff put out and try to play the game.
Now, I believe a former winner of that is one of the writers of your new single, Better Days, Jade Eagleson.
Absolutely.
The song is also written with Griffin Palmer as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, no, that was really cool. I was talking with my team there and we were sorting out different songs that we could do. And, I pitched a bunch of mine and we're like, oh, yeah, and all this stuff. And then they had a kind of like a package with all these song pitches from different writers and all this stuff. And as soon as I heard that one, like Better Days, I was like, okay, we need to cut this. Because if I, and I always stood on that hill of like, oh, I want to only play songs that I've written and blah, blah, blah. And it's kind of, that was a little naive, I think, and I never really thought about it differently until I heard that pitch. And it was like, man, like, if I don't cut this and I hear somebody else cut it down the road, I'm going to be kicking myself. It's a good tune. It deserves deserves to be cut, right? So yeah, that's how that worked out.
Okay. I'm always curious how that stuff comes about, like people getting a hold of that stuff. I wasn't sure if there's just a generic database and like first come, first serve, or so you always hear songs like, oh, it was written for so and so, they passed on it, and then it goes to the next person. Like Michael Jackson was originally supposed to sing Rock Your Body that Justin Timberlake did, but for whatever reason Michael Jackson turned it down, then it ended up with Justin Timberlake. Quarterback was written for Carrie Underwood and she turned it down because of her past relationship with Tony Romo, and then ended up with Kira Isabella and ended up being a massive success for her.
Yeah, no, for sure, man. And it's, you know, it's a cool thing. And it's kind of like, to touch on the whole idea of like, oh, I only want to do my own, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's kind of, it's a shame for these writers. Like, you know, like you take Jade and Griffin, like great writers. It's like, well, why wouldn't you? Like, you know, like they wrote this great song. And to touch on like, especially Griffin, because I sent him a message, right? And I don't really know him very well. And I sent him a message on Instagram, which just said, hey, man, like, I'm cutting this song, blah, blah, blah. Like, basically, thanks for including it in the pitch. And he was like, oh, like, that's awesome, man. He's like, I can't really remember what song that is. Do you mind sending me a sample? I'm like, oh, okay, that tells me this guy writes a lot of songs. I thought that was kind of funny.
You ever sit there and go, well, why? Well, Griffin, obviously, you just realized he just wrote how many songs. But you ever wonder why it's like, well, how come Jade didn't cut this one? How come? Well, again, you found out Griffin, but.
I know. I wondered that, too, especially like as a listener.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, okay, I want it. And you know, I think I can do a decent job of it. But yeah, listening, I'm like, oh, okay, like, geez, I bet Jade would sound wicked on this. Or Griffin, like the sample that I got for like a demo was Griffin singing on it. And I was like, oh, okay. God, like this sounds amazing, right? So, and I think what that is, that like they kind of set, I know with Jade, like he'd just kind of finished up doing all the stuff for his albums. So it was one of those cases of kind of like it was on the radar, but they kind of capped out on their song list. So
okay.
they just didn't really have the room to do it. And so rather than have it sit around and just kind of float around as a demo, you might as well get somebody to cut it, right? So I definitely volunteer for that one.
So I mean, what was it in particular about Better Days that made you go, okay, I gotta cut this one, move heaven and earth, get me this song?
Yeah, and out of all the ones that we picked, that one was definitely the one that I was pretty adamant about. Like, I'm usually pretty kind of, oh, like, you know, whatever, go with the flow type. This one, I was like, no, we're cutting this one. Because what speaks to me with that one is kind of just the story of what comes to my mind is like a younger couple, right? And they're like struggling financially and, you know, it kind of fits the times, right? So, you know, as soon as I listened to it, like the first listen through, which is rare for me, I usually need to hear it four or five times to let it settle. It was like once through, I was like, hey, that's the first single that we're going to do for this project. Yeah, I think it's just that relatability is the kind of the key for that one.
So, I mean, you mentioned project. Does that mean we're going to have an EP, a full album in the near future? Or what do you have sort of in mind for the rest of the year and maybe into the first part of 2024?
Yeah, for now we're gonna be releasing singles, kind of not quite on a schedule, but like when the time's right, and like, you know, okay, it's time for something new. Because I think the mistake and timing and all that comes into play. But with my first single to now, it was kind of too long in between, and things started to get a little stale and stuff. So with this one, we're planning on just like keeping it pumping, you know, keeping the gears moving, and do kind of a group of singles, and then eventually kind of package them and then add in, say, six or seven, call it an album.
All right. Well, Better Days is an awesome song, and I'm hoping everybody likes it as much as I do, man. Thanks for taking the time to chat.
Appreciate it. Thank you.